The mission of the Environmental Protection Agency is to protect human health and the environment. But how can it accomplish that mission when the cash runs out? Jason Middleton is back to talk water, air, and public lands on this week's Techonomics.
Hello, and thanks for listening. In business, if you want to sunset a project without stirring up the troops or maybe making a headline if you announce a closure, well, you just stop funding that project. You can whittle it down with quarterly or annual budget cuts until it's not viable. This softer landing can buy time for management to build a strategy. Managers can choose to not fill open positions. It's called keeping those jobs dark, and it can reflect well in the P&L, the bottom line. It can also seem disingenuous, especially if layoffs are involved. At the Environmental Protection Agency, this is exactly what's happening with the proposed budget for 2018 from the Trump administration.
What you should keep in mind is really the intent here is to really decimate EPA. It's really to cripple it.
That's Thelma Estrada. She's the president of Local 1235 of the AFGE. That's the American Federation of Government Employees. Simply put, the proposed budget cuts threaten to undermine the EPA's mission, devastate its workforce, and endanger public health. Wild spaces will become less majestic. Our most vulnerable populations will suffer even more. We'll all be less informed, especially when it comes to scientific issues, and our water and our air will get dirtier. And since we tend to drink water and breathe air, here's part one of two of my chat with Thelma to talk about the EPA's precarious position.
This is Thelma Estrada from American Federation Government Employees.
Let's start with the ethics memo. Can we start there?
Sure.
I need that explained to me from your perspective because it sounds fishy.
They issued us an ethics memo saying basically that when we speak out to the public, we cannot necessarily highlight the fact that we work for EPA. In other words, we can only say we are an employee. We can't say we're an expert on Clean Water Act because we've been doing that for 30 years. So they want us to say, for instance, three things. I work for EPA, I'm a mother, and I love rock and roll. Something like that. So
right.
So that we can't highlight the fact that in fact we do have all of this expertise, and
right.
The personal opinion that we say is based on that expertise.
It'd be hard to cleave the two, I would think, because this is a job. I understand that. And you have a role and you get a paycheck. But it's also a lifestyle. I mean, it's a dedication to this. So this is not an area of the government where it's just kind of punch the clock and go home at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, you're right. It is. A lot of the people that I work with, lawyers, engineers, scientists, they could make a lot more money outside. But they come in thinking that they're doing the right thing. They're fighting for the right side.
Right.
We have some lawyers in the office who used to work for these big law firms and then decided that they didn't really want to do that. They thought it was like a soulless, endeavor.
Speaking of experts, you are a member of the bar. You're a lawyer.
Yes, I am.
When you see the ethics memo, do you see a de facto gag order?
Well, it's funny you should say that. Our union here in San Francisco asked for a clarification. We sent a letter to the Office of General Counsel that issued the memo. And so far, they haven't responded to us. And basically what we're saying, it's very easy to run afoul of this ethics memo. So in a way, you're basically telling the employees, go out and say something, but we could ding you. Or if you are very concerned, try not to say anything. So you're right. It is a gag order because you are concerned about.
Sure.
Yeah, about getting in trouble.
If I asked you, Thelma, in your experience with the Clean Water Act over the last 30 years, do you find it's been an effective piece of legislation?
Of course. I mean, if you look back 30 years before we had the Clean Water Act, a lot of the communities out there did not have any secondary treatment. So we had a lot of water that was being served to the public that had, arsenic, all that nasty
right.
stuff.
Well, the water is something that's, I mean, obviously it's a utility. It's ubiquitous. It has to be regulated. It has to be monitored. I mean,
yeah.
now it's your turn to educate me because I only know the headlines. I didn't follow this story specifically. That was the mining runoff water. Is that yes. something that touches against the Clean Water Act?
Well, yes. Actually, two laws are involved in that. I have a site, in fact, in Shasta. It's a mining site, and it was mined maybe 100 years ago because the mining company just left things exposed. So every time it rains, there's runoff, acid mine drainage. And for a long time, that acid mine drainage went to the Sacramento River, and it killed off the salmon, you know, fisheries. So we have cleaned up that site. In fact, that site has been very successfully cleaned up. Now we have controlled all of the, you know, releases from there by about 99%.
Wow.
Yeah,
congratulations.
That's a major,
yeah,
major accomplishment.
Well, yeah, anything that's 99%.
Yeah, I know. But it's not done yet, you know. I mean,
right.
a lot of these sites are going to take hundreds of years.
I'd like to pivot a little bit, and let's go back into the office. Let's come back in from the outdoors. How has it felt since November the 7th, more accurately, January the 20th, from where you sit and for the employees that you represent? I mean, just a general feeling.
People are demoralized, which is to be expected, and they're waiting for the other shoe to fall.
How many shoes can they drop on you?
I know. So right now we just got a hold of the proposed 2018 budget, and it's 31% cut for us.
Okay.
That's several billions of dollars being cut. I believe from $12 billion, we're going down to $8 billion. And you have to put this in context. We have already been cut since 2010. We're already functioning right now at the 2010 level. We used to have 18,000 employees, and now we are down to 15, and they're talking about cutting back another maybe 3,800. So it's pretty hard to do your job when you don't sure. have the employees and the money to do the job.
So it seems the scope of the responsibility for the group is enormous. And so you're being cut. And this sounds like you're an equal opportunity target if it goes back to 2010.
Yes.
So these declining budgets, and have you seen a brain drain?
Yes, of course. They've already had early buyouts in the last 2 years. So one of our complaints has been that we've lost a lot of experienced people.
Institutional knowledge.
Right, exactly. And they're hiring, but they're hiring very young people. So, you know, people may be...
Well-intentioned, but inexperienced.
Exactly.
I see.
Exactly.
So a bit of anxiety hanging around the office.
Yes.
How many open positions are they looking to fill right now, and are they filling the right positions?
There's a hiring freeze, so right now we can't even.
Oh, okay.
From the time the Trump administration came in, I think they imposed a hiring freeze sometime in January.
Okay, and do you have any open positions that are mission critical that you are not allowed to be filling right now?
Well, there's a lot of positions, for instance, in the Superfund program, like, you know, remedial project managers. These are very, very important because they're the ones who basically shepherd the work and lay out the, you know, scope of work.
Right. So we're going to get into the numbers in just a second, but I want to go back to the hiring freeze real quick. I know that the VA was also on a hiring freeze, but it got an exemption. Is there any chance that you could get an exemption with hiring?
I have not seen it.
Okay. So there's no tea leaves that you could read to say maybe you'll get a break? No. Okay.
I think what you should keep in mind is really the intent here is to really decimate EPA. It's really to cripple it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, just cutting our budget by 31%. So
right.
I think this is a plan.
But who stands to benefit if the EPA is crippled?
We were told that what they plan to do is decentralize EPA, take out the money that we have, and give them to the states.
Like a block grant?
Right. Well, I don't know if it's a block grant, but...
But the budget money would be pushed back down to state level,
right.
And the state level administration would take
right,
it from
exactly.
there.
Right, exactly.
I see.
But unfortunately, even the state, they don't have enough resources too. And a lot of times, it's the state who turns to us and says, can you take this case?
That's Thelma Estrada. She's the president of Local 1235 of the AFGE. That's the American Federation of Government Employees. She represents EPA employees. Thelma and I are discussing the proposed 2018 budget for the Environmental Protection Agency, which would be slashed by historic proportions if the Trump administration gets its way. For more, please go to kgoradio.com/techonomics. There's an article there that has more links for reference. Also, you can let us know what you think at facebook.com/techonomicsradio. This is Techonomics. I'm Jason Middleton.